Hello and welcome to the 100th episode of the Consider the Source podcast with your host, Sarah Smiles. I'm Sarah Smiles and this is the Sarah Smiles Network. So this is actually my 100th episode and I couldn't be more excited because the majority of the time, I think that podcasts don't typically make it past like 3 episodes, maybe 5. That might be on the low side. Maybe I should fact check that. Let me go ahead and fact check that. How many episodes do podcasts typically last? So that's not exactly what I wanted to look for. What is the ideal length in minutes for a podcast episode? Maybe I should look for the average lifespan. Okay, anyways, I'll find that statistic somewhere and I'll put it in the show notes. So I ran a poll on my Instagram and I put whether I should make my 100th episode about my major life announcement or if I should make it about 100 things that I love. And I decided to do neither, okay? And here is why. I will share what I am going to announce with what major life change that I have. But what I want to focus on is I'm going to do 50 things that I love and then 50 things that I'd love to change. And when we get to 50 of the things that I love, I'm going to make my big announcement of what my giant life change is. So stay tuned. I really just wanted you to stick around. And like, even if you do fast forward through the episode, you have to at least listen to like a few things here and there in order to finally get to like that sweet spot 50. But yeah, I also think that number 100 on my list of things that I'd love to change, there's not 100 things that I'd love to change, but 100 on my list of both 50s, what that summation would be. But anyways, that is also really it. So stick around for that. Stick around for my entire list of things I love. But so let's begin first with that. So I have 2 influencers that I actually really think do a great job with social media and do a great job with podcasting. And that is the Stod guy, which absolutely love him. He's really inspirational to me and I can't really put my thumb on why. I just feel like what he has done in the environment that he's cultivated with his online presence has been truly stunning. And I also really love Brittany Broski. I think that she provides and sheds a really good cultural light on things that are happening and things that you should care about and things that are just beyond pop culture, because I really don't give a shit about pop culture. And so why I'm mentioning them is because Stod guy has this whole shtick that he does and it's à la poubelle or fantastique. And à la poubelle means to the trash, something that you want to change, something that you want to make better, something that you don't like. And fantastique is something that's fantastic, something that's great, something that's good, something that you love. And so I really love that concept of the comparison between things that you love and things that you don't love. But Brittany Broski did her 100th episode recently and she did the thing, 100 things that she loves. So I was like, okay, I wanna do 100 something. So I made a list of 100, fantastique and à la poubelle. So beginning first, I sanctioned them off into lists of 50. So it's not technically a cohesive list of 100 things that I love or 100 things that I'd like to change, but instead it is a 50-50 list. Anyways, that was a lot of background to get to the first point of being 50 things that I love. Number one, my new haircut. In case you have not seen it on social media, I did in fact get a new haircut. And this is because I wanted to get bangs, not because I'm going through a breakup, but because I just feel like I have rocked the same bleak, bland, straight hair for a really long time, and I felt like it was time for a little bit of a change. And so I don't know about you, but I develop a lot of my personality based off of a TV show called Daisy Jones and the Six. And I won't say that it's my personality, but I will say a lot of my fashion sense and a lot of my style comes from that show / that era, specifically Suki Waterhouse. That woman is a queen. And I really just took a picture of Suki Waterhouse into my salon and I said, give me this haircut. I would like this haircut. And it's kind of a mix between a shag and just a layered haircut. I wasn't ready to commit to the shag because my hairstylist said, well, we're going to have to take a lot off the bottom and really thin that out. Not something I really want to hear. I don't really want to be thinning my hair, right, guys? Anyways, so that's number one. Love my new haircut. I highly recommend getting a new haircut for different phases that you're going through in life. I should really do a hair journey of all the different hair. I know that I just said that I've had the same straight, boring hair, but I did go through a lot of phases within the past 4 or 5 years since I've graduated college, and I've done a lot. I've experimented. So I highly recommend it. I'll do a hair journey. Maybe. We'll see. Number two on the 50 things that I love is journaling. If you have also been following my social media account, you'll notice that I have been posting entries from my diaries that I was writing in college. And I really think that journaling for me has been so therapeutic to write down things that I want to forget. I feel like, and this is largely encapsulated by what Matthew McConaughey wrote in Green Lights. And he wrote it so eloquently. I'm just gonna steal it. Okay, no one's gonna mind. So he wrote so eloquently in Green Lights, saying it's really easy to sit down with your negative thoughts. It's a lot harder to sit down with positive ones and write about positive thoughts. And being someone that's been a lifelong journaler, I could not relate more. I will go back through journals and look at them and just honestly shudder. I couldn't sit down and read them because it was so often that I would sit down and write about terrible things that were happening in my life that I just wanted to forget. And so my journaling really became a practice of writing things down to forget them instead of writing things down to remember them. And so I started realizing, okay, let me flip the script on my journaling business and start writing in a way that I am writing down things that I want to remember, that I want to continue riding these highs and what Matthew McConaughey calls them is green lights. Keep riding on these green lights. Keep showing up in ways that I want to because things are turning out the way that I want them to. Okay, so he really talks about how you should capitalize on green lights and how you should place an emphasis on writing down and capturing the moments that you really want to go back of, like, when you are down, reading about those times that, wow, life is really good. What was I doing? How can I recreate that again? And so that's ultimately something that I've been trying to do recently in my journals, but it's still really hard. I'm still really trying. It is just really difficult for me to sit down with, like, just being happy. Like, typically when I have positive news, I want to share my positivity with other people. Versus when I have negative news, I don't really want to burden people with negative news. And so I sit down with that, internalize it, and write it in my journal. Something I'm still working on. But alas, what I am talking about on social media when I read from my journals are excerpts that I have gone back and recently read in my journals. Because I have been journaling since before I could write. I kid you not. I'm going back to my mom's house this weekend who has the rest of my journals because I have so many. And my first journal is, I would draw little doodles on a page and my Nana would write about what I just drew on the page. And so I have been journaling ever since then. Ever since kindergarten-esque time frame. So that's a lot of journals. That's a lot of notes from past versions of me, things that I thought that were important, things that I thought mattered, things that really kept me up at night. And so going back and reading some of them, I honestly was kind of surprised by how insightful I was. Now, was I willing to take my own advice? Not always, but I think that in what I learned from reading Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey, his words impacted me in such a profound way that I want my words that I have written on my pages to potentially impact other people in a way that his words impacted me. So that's ultimately what that journaling journey has been. Number three on the list, stand-up comedy. I have always loved stand-up comedy. As a child, my dad watched Seinfeld. And I remember he would die laughing at some of the jokes on the TV. And I would sit there and be like, I don't get this. I don't, what's funny? But I knew that it was appealing. And so although I didn't know what was funny, I would still laugh because he was laughing. It was just good energy, good vibes, good environment. And obviously Seinfeld, the show, is a sitcom, but at the beginning of every show, he would start as a stand-up bit. And I just thought that that was so cool. I really remember watching the TV when I was super little, seeing him in a tuxedo or seeing him in a suit or whatever men call that piece of attire, and like talking and saying funny stuff and having people laugh. And I was so intrigued by that. And so recently, this past year, I decided to start stand-up comedy. It is humbling. Let me tell you what. You can be funny, but it's a different thing to be funny with people that know you and being funny on stage with people that don't. So that is something that I still would like to work on. That is something that I still enjoy doing. That's something that I still love. And I think stand-up comedy is one of like the last forms of art that still exists and is unaffected by AI. Okay, so the next thing, number four on the things that I love, is dim sum. There's nothing more that I love than like a little breaded treat. And that is exactly what dim sum is. I'm going to Amsterdam next weekend. And the first time that I really remember having dim sum was the last time I was in Amsterdam last year. And really being transcended by that experience. I felt so gluttonous, so fatty, and so I ordered like an entire, you know what, when you go, or if you've ever seen a tea party and they have like the tiers of the little baked good and pastries and little sandwiches and stuff. I got a tier thing of dim sum, of different kinds of dim sum. Majority of it was dessert dim sum, which were just like these breaded goodies that had like jellies and chocolate and all this stuff in it. Delicious, yummy. Bao buns, delicious, yummy. The sweet bread with the meat in the middle, yes, please. So I've been thinking a lot about that. My mouth is literally watering right now. So I've been thinking a lot about that because I'm going back to Amsterdam. I'm going to make sure that I go back to that dim sum place because it really transcended my life experience to this point. And I was kind of hesitant about going back because I'm like, what if it's not as good as I remember? But you know what? Who am I to deprive myself of that luxury of not going and finding out? Okay, so number five is local flower bouquets. I love going out to a farmer's market and seeing the amazing bouquets that they put together. And I say this because my mom just bought me this beautiful bouquet just for no reason. And I have just been so jaw-dropped, gobstopped by the immense beauty of these flowers. And they're just in my home, making the whole place smell good, making it light and airy, making it beautiful. And they last for so much longer because they are from your local community. So they haven't been dying for as long as the ones that you get at like the supermarket, if you were to just buy roses from who knows where. So yeah, very, very into local flower bouquets. Okay, number six, cultural learning. And when I say cultural learning, I mean learning about things like history, learning about mostly history. You know what? Yeah, cultural learning being learning about history, getting cultured about history. Because something that occurred to me is that I didn't think it necessary to pay attention in any of my history classes because I was like, what good is this gonna do me? How is this gonna earn me money? And the more that I learn about history, the more that life kind of opens up to me. In the sense of, there are so much more things that make sense. There are so much more things that I was like, that's really woke of you to say that. But then I'm like going back and reading, I just went to Hawaii and I'm like, wow, why wouldn't you go to a luau? And then I'm reading about what the colonial period or the colonization period was like in Hawaii and what that looked like and how horrifying that was. Like, it was a queenship when white men decided to take it over. And I was reading this book about the Hawaiian history and all of these Europeans and French people were coming over into, or all of these like Canadians and Americans were going into, all these Canadians and Americans were going into Hawaii and they were wreaking havoc on Hawaii. They literally were killing out the Hawaiian population because they were so festered with disease that they just would blow out the population and that all of the Hawaiians would die. And the crazy thing to me, so like I said, it was a queenship. And this queenship was obviously run by women. And all of these women would go into these meetings talking about their society. And somehow, these sleazy white colonists, these sleazy white male colonists, come in to Hawaii with alcohol, which is not something Hawaiians previously had access to or knowledge of, starts feeding these women alcohol and gets them to go against what they have been building, gets them drunk, and basically manipulates them into this ideology that they should accept what the white men are doing and that we should just move forward with that. Honestly, I could talk about that in depth. I'm not sure how much of it would be accurate, so I would love to have a historian on to talk about so many different colonization periods. I really, really am learning a lot about the Hawaii colonization and how mortifying and impactful that was and still is to their economy. So if you know anyone, if you are someone that knows a lot about the Hawaiian colonization and any really roots about Hawaii, would love to have you on the show, would love to talk to you, so please reach out. But yes, I want to get back to what I initially said was cultural learning, and I think that that mostly is just learning about history and being a white woman in America, not really having much culture. Any history is really learning about culture. So I think that that is mostly what I've been interested in, and really learning a lot about the parallels between the state of Gaza and Israel and its parallels to Ireland and the UK. And learning about how, because the more that I am getting up to date on current events, it allows me to realize how similar they are to past events, like how Israel and Gaza or Palestine is very similar to what happened in Ireland with the UK. And the famine. It's all very, very similar and very, very wild to watch it all happen again when something so recent has happened to Israel. And recent in the grand scheme of human existence, okay? I realize that it wasn't within like the past 20 years while I was born or anything like that. But I'm not a historian. I really have been enjoying learning about history. I would really like to be one of those people that is able to just recall facts about history and make parallels, like what I was just saying. And yeah, I really just think that that's the one of like the tiers of intelligence is learning about history and being able to recall on history in terms of current references. Okay? Number 7, baking. That one has become really therapeutic for me. The converse side of that, or the adverse side of baking, is that then I eat it. And then I eat what I bake. So, as much as I love baking and love eating desserts and treats and sweets, yeah, that is something to be reckoned with. I also just think that because my grandmother loved baking so much, I feel like I am connecting with her in that realm of doing the recipes that she has in her recipe book and just really enveloping that lifestyle that she created and that she loved doing. So it just makes me feel a little bit more whole. Then number 8, thrifting. I think thrifting is another one of those arts that will never be replaced by AI. And I say that it's an art. It allows for you to be intentional about your purchases. I think that one of the major things that has driven me to thrifting was, number one, the environment. I will get into this about the 50 things that I'd love to change, but the environment is heavily affected by our clothing, and we really don't need to be buying new garments. We can go and buy everything secondhand. I would say 90% of my wardrobe is likely thrifted now, maybe probably higher than 90%. And it really is not hard to do. It's fun. It gives you something to think about, something to wish for, something to find some sort of whimsy in, because you don't know what you're gonna stumble into at the thrift store. You have no idea whether it's gonna be a trinket, whether it's gonna be clothing, whether it's gonna be furniture. You don't know what you're gonna stumble into. And so really, it is like setting yourself up for just serendipity, okay? Which is something that is really hard to come by nowadays. That's really why I love thrifting. I really love it because it allows you to be intentional, allows you to curate, allows you to do a lot of the things that I feel like we don't do anymore. It's like hunter-gatherer sort of thing. Like I'm gathering the things that I want. So really into that. And to piggyback off of that, number 9 on my 50 things that I love is upcycling thrifted clothing. I like upcycling everything. If I can upcycle it, I will. And when I upcycle, when I say I'll upcycle anything, I will literally buy a jar of something at the store and then we'll use that jar for virtually anything. Like, it becomes a Tupperware container to me, because where else can you get a really nice glass container with a glass container with a screw-on metal lid? Like, good luck. Anyways, yeah, so that's something that I really like doing. I also think that when you thrift something and then you upcycle it, it makes it that much more personal. So, for instance, the shirt that I'm wearing, I sewed these little heart patches on so that way it was a little bit more me, a little bit more flair, and got some compliments on it today. This was my debut day of wearing it. So I really think that that could just enhance the thrifting, could make thrifting more fun for you if you see a vision of something you like, of how you could fix it, or if you have something that you already own and repair it instead of just going to get a new one. Thought, food for thought. The next one is number 10, waking up to the smell of breakfast. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad would work all week and then be home on the weekends, and I remember waking up to him making bacon and eggs. And that just really like set my day up to be so much better. I remember laying in bed and feeling just taken care of, feeling that everything, this was gonna be a spectacular great day. Well, I mean, how could it not be if you have someone making you breakfast? That's pretty much that on that. That's pretty self-explanatory. Number 11, deciding to make a personal rebrand. I think at any point in life, it is a valid time to make a personal rebrand. Why not? You don't owe anything to anybody. And if you wanna rebrand today, if you wanna rebrand again tomorrow, do it. Who's stopping you? Why not? I really just personally identify with the personal rebrand, okay? Then we have number 12, landscape photos / taking too many photos. I really subscribe to being gluttonous in the sense of non-material items, but in memories. And so I am going to take a lot of photos. And to some people, they find it annoying that a camera is always in my hand or that I'm always on my phone taking pictures, but they are the same people that come to me of, hey, can you send me that photo? Hey, can you give me that? Hey, can we create a shared album? Okay, now you have my phone. So yeah, I think that that is something that I really subscribe to as well. Number 13, this is my own personal favorite that you too can add to your routines. But this is my Sunday reward on Sundays after a long run. So, in case you didn't know, I'm training for my fourth marathon, and every Sunday, I have a long run. Like, for instance, this past Sunday, I ran 20 miles. So, I go to a local ice cream shop, and I sit there, and I get a sundae on a Sunday. It's a ritual. It's a beautiful thing. I think everyone should have a ritual like that that they look forward to. It really, again, brings whimsy to the week. It really, really gives you a purpose for doing something that you might not necessarily want to do. I think that a sweet treat is always an earned item. You can always earn a sweet treat. You can always do something to set up your week in a positive way for a sweet treat to be entertained, okay? So really been loving that. So shout out to Branny Mays, Bonnie Braze in Denver. Really been eating that up, literally. Number 14, owning virtually nothing. I am sitting in an apartment that's fully furnished. I rent all of the furniture. I will tell you the importance of that later in this episode when I get to number 50. But I really have no anxiety about moving anywhere, about feeling like I have to call movers to get this stuff, really about anything, about it getting stolen. It's not mine. I don't care. Number 15, writing letters to friends and family. There's nothing better than getting something that's not a bill in the mail. So I like to take that ideology and send letters to my friends because I like them to have a little piece of happiness when they go to their mailbox. And on top of the 10 other bills that they likely have in their mailbox, they'll also get a handwritten letter. Love audiobooks, that's 16. 17, talking to friends' parents. I used to love going to my friend's house and just talking to their parents. I didn't really care if I hung out with my friend or not. I was just there to talk to their parents. And it's so funny because looking back on it, I do not remember what the parents did for work. I literally would just talk to them about life, about what they've done, experiences they've had. And I really think that that is a lost art of being able to just talk to generations without being able to relate to them. I like learning from other people. I like hearing from people that are older than me. And I feel like, again, this is a lost art because I don't really get to see my friends that often, let alone their parents. So something that I need to seek out. Number 18, clothes made of natural fibers. I'm talking cotton. I'm talking silk. I'm talking linen. I'm talking wool. I don't want any of the synthetic shit anymore. We should not be accepting this from our producers. They are bamboozling us. They want us to pay for a lower quality at the same price, okay? We're being shamed, okay? Number 19, when a friend texts you out of the blue, this reminds me of you, or when they send you a meme and they're like, this reminds me of you, may not even be someone that you talk to on a day-to-day basis. It could be something that you talk to monthly or that you talk to quarterly, but having someone just message you and be like, this reminded me of you, whether it's a silly, dumb, goofy meme, or if it's a genuine, sentimental thing, love both of them either way. Thanks for thinking of me. I love that. Number 20. This is taking a while. Number 20, The Nightmare Before Christmas. Honestly, great film. Gonna be watching it shortly here. Probably, maybe, tonight. Number 21, Waffle House. I have said it once, I will say it again. Waffle House, please sponsor me. I am begging. I have been going to Waffle House since I was a fetus. And my family has been eating at Waffle House on Christmas Eve as our family tradition. It is our only family tradition every year for the better part of 10 years. That is a long time. It's definitely been more than 10 years because I've been out of college for 5. Oh my gosh, we've probably been doing that for like 20 years. Wow. Okay, Waffle House, come on, sponsor me. That's all I'm asking. I'm just asking for a little promo code. I don't necessarily need the goods. If you want to send me some Waffle House mix and a waffle iron, I wouldn't be opposed. I would not be opposed. Okay, number 22, things I love. Crystals and rocks. I know that this is gonna turn maybe some people, but I feel like crystals and rocks are just natural sediments that exist in the earth. We put plants in our home. Why is it weird for me to have crystals in my home? I want crystals in my home because although I really don't know how I feel about them actually having frequencies that really do much for me, but I'm not one to be like, that's not real, that's not possible, okay? I also just really like how they look. I have a blue orb, circular orb, in my room. I just love it. It's majestic looking. So sue me. Then number 23, knickknacks from travels. I really love a knickknack from going somewhere. And I like to get a knickknack like in Hawaii. I did wood carving with a Polynesian man who has been doing wood carving since he was a little kid. And he helped me make a little tiki pole. And when I went to Morocco, I got Moroccan oil. I like to get little trinkets that remind me of the place that I went and have some sort of cultural relevance that you can only get in that area or that is from that area. So I really, really like the trinket mindset, the trinket train, if you will. So yeah, just allows for me to feel like these trinkets come into my home and then reminds me of my travels, reminds me of how worldly I am. Yeah, so I really just love a good trinket. Next. Practical gifts, 24. That's pretty self-explanatory. You know what's a practical gift? A gift card. You know what's not a practical gift? A sweater that I don't like. A sweater that you just bought because you wanted to buy me something. You just buying me something for the sake of buying me something. I don't want that. Don't buy me anything. Give me money. That's a practical gift, okay? If you want to spend money on me, just give me money. And you don't know what to get me, just give me money. Or give me crystals or plants, okay? 25. Mini planners. I love a mini planner. I love being able to open up my calendar and see exactly what's happening this week, today, this month, what I have done this week, today, this month. I really love that. I really think that there's something so beautiful about the analog of it. I can't get into the phone planner, the phone calendar. It is just not a warm, cozy environment like writing in your own planner. Something about it. I just love it. Number 28, women owned businesses. Hence why I made so many episodes, a segment on my podcast about women owned businesses. I love them. I think that there should be more of them. I think that the women that have created the ones that I interviewed are amazing, exceptional people doing great things. Number 29, farmers markets. I love going to a farmer's market, seeing what people are selling locally, seeing what people are making, seeing what people are buying, seeing people what people are wearing, just really being involved in the community. I feel like farmers markets are really one of the last frontiers of community activities. Could be wrong, but that's just my two cents. Number 30, college softball. I say that because I don't like watching sports on TV. There, I said it. I'm done pretending sports are interesting. There, I said it. I love college softball. I think it is one of the most entertaining sports that is on television. That is the only one that I am willing to watch on TV. That is it. Number 31, Caitlin Clark. She transformed women's sports. I don't care what sport you're talking about. You are talking about Caitlin Clark. She, yes, brought a lot of eyes to the WNBA, but I also think that she has brought a lot of eyes to women's sports in general. Of who's going to be the next Caitlin Clark, or who's going to be the Caitlin Clark of softball, who's going to be the Caitlin Clark of volleyball. And it really, she has done so much for that community. I am excited about it. I am excited to see what she does. She apparently has been doing good things, I think. but yeah, I think that she's a great role model for younger girls looking to get into sports. Number 32, traveling with a loose itinerary. I don't want to have everything planned down to a T every time I travel somewhere. Now, there are times that I really do love having everything planned down to a T. Like when I am going to a health and wellness retreat. I want to have everything planned out because I want to plan when I'm getting a massage, when I'm going to get my chakras aligned, when I'm going to yoga, and really calibrate myself for the day. Whereas if I'm traveling to a new city, who am I to say, we need to be at this restaurant at this time? What if I'm having a really great time doing whatever it is that I'm doing and I don't want to go to the restaurant? Let's subscribe to that. Let's subscribe to that motive if you're going to a new city. No itinerary. Loose itinerary. Okay. Yeah, then that also brings about the issue of like needing to plan stuff so far in advance and getting tickets so far in advance. That stuff is annoying. There are a few things that leave the exception. And when I say loose itinerary, I mean like go to a museum. Plan that beginning, middle of the day. That's it. That's the only plan for the day. Everything else, do whatever you want. So unfortunately, there is some planning that has to go into it. Like if you want to go to any of the national parks anymore, you got to go get a pass in advance. So you do have to plan occasionally, most of the time, actually, if you want to do something that requires admission. So anyways, number 34, leather shoes. Number 35, why did I write college softball again? Wait, shit. Okay. Number 33, leather shoes. Number 34, being a muse. I really just think that that would be my ultimate life goal. If someone were to call me their muse, I don't really know how I'd feel about that if they did tell me that, but that is a life goal. That is something that I would hope that my entire presence and being inspired you to do something. That, pretty impressive. Number 35, never wearing foundation. And when I say foundation, I mean like skin foundation. I've got freckles. I've got a lot of them. I will never be putting foundation on my skin. The closest we will get to foundation is a tinted moisturizer, a tinted SPF. That's all we've got. I don't have foundation in the cards for me. I really don't see that happening for me. I really don't think that I would look good in it. I watch other women do their makeup tutorials and they look fabulous, amazing, perfect with foundation. Not for me. Number 36, tiptoeing the line between Maha and Granola Girl. I really think that there is a lot of relevant information that's coming out about Make America Healthy Again. Like a fitness plan of every American in public school should be able to do a mile run in a certain amount of time, should be able to do push-ups in a certain amount of time. I really believe that a lot of our health epidemic lies solely on our inability to take care of our bodies, whether that's fueling it with the right nutritional things or going out and working out maintaining a healthy body. So those are my two big hills to die on. I really think that there's a lot to be said for the granola girlies who have been saying a lot of what Maha has been saying of seed oils, natural foods, organic foods, non-processed foods, perimeter shopping around your grocery store, not buying any of the, or not going out to eat. There's a lot to be said for those granola girlies that agenda is now being pushed by Maha. And now it's really difficult to say that you subscribe to that. So I do want to say vaccines are necessary. I also want to say we need to cut out processed food and we need to be more fit as a nation. There, I said it. Okay, breakfast burritos, number 37. Number 38, number 39, late night conversations about philosophy. I cannot tell you the amount of times that I have talked with people after a night out, after hanging out with some friends, and just one-on-one been talking about anything and everything, all right? It really does something for the soul. Number 40, horses. Number 42, the smell of a bookstore / Home Depot. Number 40, I'm jumping all over the place with these numbers. Oh my gosh. Number 48, grassroots artists. Number 40, horses, obviously, major horse girl. Number 41, the smell of a bookstore or a Home Depot. Number 42, the smell of fall. Like when you come home from school back in the day, or when you come home from work and you open up the windows and it just smells crisp. It doesn't necessarily smell like cinnamon apples, pumpkin spice. It just smells crisp. Number 43, grassroots artists. Number 44, saving your money to buy something and then finally buying it. Number 45, a cutesy little ringtone. I love when someone's ringtone goes off in public and it is just not the standard out of the box iPhone ringtones. I really exceptionally love that. Number 46, meditating. Number 47, hunkering down for a good TV show and then talking about that TV show with your friends. It is the modern day book club. I love it. Number 48, doing things alone. Gone are the days I am waiting around for someone to go and do something with me that I want to do. Gone are the days, girl. I've got things to do. I got places to be. I got people to see. And I gotta do it alone, apparently. Number 49, talking to people who are passionate about X, Y, or Z. Talking to somebody that is so passionate about their hobby, so passionate about their job, someone that is so passionate about literally fill in the blank. I love talking to them about it. It is so interesting to hear someone talk in a way about something I had maybe little to no knowledge about prior to talking to them and coming away from the conversation with so much knowledge. I love that. Okay, number 50. My big news is that I am moving to France. Yep, I am moving to France and I cannot be more excited about it. I have decided to quit corporate America yet again and become an au pair in France. And you might be wondering, Sarah, why on earth would you become an au pair? Why would you want to take care of young children? Great question, I would love to tell you. I am currently debt-free. I would like to stay debt-free for the remainder of my existence. I have worked really hard to try and figure out what it is that I want to do in this life, and I have decided what that is to just live in a way that I am unapologetically me and that I am doing things that I want to be doing. There is no rhyme or reason why I want to move to France in terms of bettering my career or doing something to put on a resume. There's real no rhyme or reason. I want to move to France because I want to move to France. I want to become bilingual. I want to become cultured in a different culture. I want to learn more about the people that live in this world, okay? I don't really care that I am not going to be moving up the ladder in terms of corporate America, because to be honest, I still don't know if that is what I want to do or not. There are so many other things I would like to try before just giving up and being like, yep, corporate America's it. That's all I'm gonna do. I'm not even gonna try and do anything else. Back to being an au pair. I really wanted to find something that I didn't have to go into debt. I did not want to go and get my master's in something, especially in the age of AI. Like, what does a master's even mean anymore? Okay. No offense to those of you getting your master's. Shout out getting your master's. Okay. But seriously, I did not want to go into debt to basically just be doing AI and living in a different country where I had to find housing and do all of this extra stuff instead of just focusing on just living there, just being there. And so I really wrapped my head around, okay, or I really racked my brain for how can I move abroad and not have to worry about where I'm going to be living, not have to worry about going into debt, not have to worry about really anything. And it was being an au pair, because the way that I had it set up is I live in my own little space. I get a car. They send me to French lessons. I get paid. I really don't know what more I could want from living abroad. I really have minimal expectations of what I think that this is going to turn out like. And I say that because I don't want to set an expectation of, oh, I'm going to live here the rest of my life, or I'm only going to live here a year. I'm open to whatever. If I end up being there for the rest of my life, awesome. If I only end up being there for a year, awesome. But I do want to know that I tried living somewhere that I don't speak the language, that I'm not native. I've been taking French since I was little, but I'm by no means bilingual. I am by no means fluent. You gotta talk to me real slow, okay? If you want me to understand. So, yeah. I'm moving to France and I'm excited, and I will have more updates. I will definitely make more podcasts revolving around, oh my God. I will definitely be sharing more updates about what that move to France looks like, all of the things that go into it. And then I also think that when I get to France, it's probably going to largely be me talking on this podcast about assimilating into an environment and really taking you along on the journey of what that is like for me. Because unlike working on the ranch, when I got there, I was surrounded by other people my age. And this will really be the first time that I am not surrounded by people my age that speak my language, that know anything about me or my culture, really. So, yeah! But anyways, that's my life update. Crazy. Moving in November. Yeah, so if you want to send me any well wishes, I will put my Venmo in the show notes, okay? Anyways, okay, now to close out this episode that is turning out to be a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. 50 things I would love to change, or a la poubelle, as Stab Guy says. Okay, number one, social media being an addiction. I say it that way because social media is definitely an addiction for me. I definitely wake up, roll over, look to see who liked my videos, engaged with my content. It is addictive. I am addicted. I would like for that to stop. This is also a list of things that I would like to make better within myself as well as in society. Number two, something I'd love to change is producers placing the burden of recycling on the consumer. I have made a video about this. I am so sick and tired of walking into a grocery store and seeing so much plastic because the producer of said good decides that they want to save money by not putting their goods in glass, by not putting their goods in aluminum containers. I really would love to see a complete rebrand of what that looks like. I would love for people to stop using single-use plastic. That is something that I just find incredibly, literally trashy, is single-use plastic, okay? Can get really angry, aggro, and animated about that one. Number three, organic and healthy foods being a luxury. I walk into the grocery store. Okay, first of all, groceries expensive as it is, let alone produce, let alone organic produce. Let me know why I was at the grocery store. I bought 3 apples and they were $12. They were organic apples, $12 for 3 of them. Cost breakdown, $4 per apple. That's insane, okay? That is not normal. All right, number four, billionaires not giving back to our own society. It is crazy to me how much money billionaires have and how much of a cognitive dissonance that us as the American people have and everyone really has towards $1 billion. They just assume, oh, $1 billion, that's a lot of money. No, let me break that down for you. One, let's do a quick analysis, a quick side-by-side, a quick analogy. $1 equals 1 second in this analogy, okay? The American net worth is worth about 2.2 days in terms of $1 equals 1 second, okay? Because that's like about a little over $90,000 is the average American net worth. And net worth includes assets that you have, okay? It's not necessarily money in the bank, all right? Okay, so then we look at Elon Musk, who has over $400 billion. That is over 14,000 years. 14,000 years, okay? So your comparing the average American that has 2.2 days in net worth to Elon Musk, who has 14,000 years, okay? Crazy statistic. But what is so mind-boggling to me is when I go back, like I said, I've been learning about history, been going back into history, learning about what our culture is like, what we were built on. I'm learning about the Gilded Age. I'm learning about J.D. Rockefeller. Not a great guy, but at least he gave back to the American society. He built colleges. He built a philanthropic organization. What? He built medical research facilities. What have the billionaires that we currently know, Bill Gates gives back in terms of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but what do other billionaires do? What have other billionaires given back to the US? What has Elon Musk given to us? And it just really boggles my mind. And I could go on and on and on and talk about this, but we have a bunch of other points to get to. Okay, number 5, financial literacy not being common. Guys, it is not cute, girl math. Girl math is not cute. I do not like it. I do not condone it. I do not think it's funny. Girl math is making really terrible monetary decisions. Great, 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 good. Let's not, okay? Let's think about what we're spending our money on, where our money is going, and how we can have our money work for us, okay? Number 6, feeling unsafe when traveling alone as a woman. I don't know if you've seen Taken. That movie really rubbed me the wrong way about traveling alone as a woman. Really got me thinking about what it's like to travel alone as a woman. And I don't like it. I think it's scary. And especially living alone as a woman, scary stuff. Okay, number 7, people with entitlement. People that feel entitled to your time. People that feel entitled to your money. People that feel entitled to your energy. Number 8, quote unquote, friends who don't support your ventures. Whether you're trying to become an influencer on social media, whether you're starting your own business, whether you are quitting your corporate job, friends that don't support you in those decisions, not your friends, okay? Number 9, refusing to be quote unquote political. Recognizing things that are happening in the world and talking about them and saying, wow, I don't really think that this is just. I really wish that there was something I could do, campaigning for things. Whether that is the genocide in Gaza or whether that is the totaling of forest areas in the US. Whatever your political climate is, everything is becoming politically charged. Where you get your water from is becoming politically charged, or has been politically charged, I should say. Everything is political. And for you to not have a stance, for you to not have any insight of how you feel about it, I just don't know if, are you stupid or do you just not care? Either way, not good. Okay, I should cut that out. People that refuse to be political, like, do you just not care? I find that concerning. Okay, number 10, drinking culture. I really drank in college. I was a sorority girl in college. I was a party girl in college. Why? There's no benefit to it. I don't feel good after it. I don't really feel good during it. Nothing good comes of it. I, since being sober, have watched other people while they are drunk, being that I used to work in a bar, and I was just like, wow, yikes. Number 11, college tuition prices, self-explanatory. Number 12, brain rot. I feel a variety of different ways about brain rot because I feel like brain rot is becoming a part of our culture, which I think is kind of funny, but I also think that it's really horrifying. Number 13, fast fashion. I'm done with fast fashion. Fast fashion should be outlawed. Fast fashion should not be allowed to exist. There is enough clothes on this planet currently to clothe, I think it's the next 7 generations or something crazy like that. We literally do not need a new article of clothing to be produced ever. Then that brings me into 14, hyper-consumerism. Why is everything about consuming? Why do you constantly have to be looking at something of, I want to buy this, where can I buy that? I'm on Pinterest now. Every other ad is an ad for Amazon. Can I not be inspired on Pinterest anymore? Number 15, I will die on this hill. Arguing for the sake of being right. There is no point in arguing to prove someone wrong. You should not argue for the sake of proving someone wrong. You should argue, debate, to learn and understand why someone thinks a different way from you. To understand where they're coming from, why they think that way. Not to disprove them and show them that they are wrong. That is becoming such a huge issue in our current culture and current society, which I'll get into at another number on this list, okay? Number 16, feeling inclined to stay friends with people who don't align with you. There have been so many TV shows that really emphasize friendships that aren't healthy just for the sake of being friends and having a friend because you've been friends for a long time. Like, that to me is weird. If you don't align with someone anymore, if you don't see value in your friendship, get gone, you know? Okay, maybe just me. Number 17, tipping in the US. If I have to see someone flip over their tablet for something that they think they should be tipped on when they did nothing for me, I'm pressing zero. I'm pressing see more options, zero, okay? I don't really do that. I wish that I had the audacity to do that. Anyways, chain restaurants, number 18, hate a chain restaurant. Number 19, top artists primarily being men. Come on, ladies! Come on, I'm tired of it. But walking into a bookstore and seeing all male authors, it kind of goes hand in hand with the all top artists being men. Like, let's have some variety, ladies. Come on. Let's do some more. Let's do some more. Publishing houses. Let's publish more women, all right? Let's get to it. I'm tired of reading about the economy, about anything from the white men who destroyed it, you know? It's just, it's old. I'm tired. It's getting played out. Anyways, the next one, number 20, oh, sorry, skipped one. Number 19, being a quote-unquote Republican or a quote-unquote Democrat, which implies very labelistic terms. I truly do not believe that we should look to describe ourselves using such vague labels. And I say a Democrat and a Republican because I feel like that is where we're becoming so divided as a society and as a nation, and having people gang up on other people because of what label they chose, when in reality, most of us are looking to accomplish the same goals, okay? Number 20, social engagement. I am so sick of going out into social situations and having no social engagement or very limited social engagement. And I don't mean going out to a bar and talking to people at a bar because that's easy. Everyone does that. I mean going to the bus stop and talking to the people next to you on the bus. I feel like people segment relationships, specifically segment romantic relationships to be exclusive to dating apps. And so then you never meet people in real life. And it's just such a weird concept, a weird area to be in. And the same is really true with friends. Like, the majority of people that I've become friends with in my adult life recently have become my friend through social media. So that's, I feel like that's weird. I feel like I don't like that and it's weird. And I would like to change that. Number 21, the normalization of hypersexualizing both men and women. I don't, like, sex sells, we get it, we get that. How about advertise in a different way? How about promote something in a different way? I just really don't get why we need to do that. And, like, why OnlyFans and, like, all of these websites are becoming super prominent in culture and society, it's gross. It's gross. Number 22. This one's about me specifically. Only speaking English. Okay? I only speak English and a little bit of French. That's gonna change. All right. Okay. Number 23. Talking more than listening. I'm guilty of this sometimes. I do host a podcast. So I am talking more than I am listening most of the time. Anyways. Then to follow that, one-upping. Like, if I am talking to you and I am being a good listener, which to my own credit, I actually am a good listener. But don't be one-upping me every time you need to say something, every time I say something. It's weird. I don't like it. It's competitive. And for what? I don't understand. Number 25, space travel. What? Y'all, hey, let's focus on home base first, all right? Let's get us situated here. Let's figure out what we need to do instead of just jumping ship, abandoning. All right? It's weird why we're doing that. Number 26, public transit in the U.S. Why? Why were the railway systems uprooted in the U.S.? They used to go to every little teeny tiny town. During the Gilded Era, they used to go to every teeny tiny little town, every little podunk town. And you want to know why that's not anymore? Because big oil, big car, was like, hey, we can actually make more money from people if they go on paved roads, drive these cars, and put petrol in their tanks. Okay, great. Thanks, guys. And it drives me absolutely bonkers when people are like, well, I can't take my truck to go and do blah, blah, blah. I would lose my independence. Okay. You're missing the whole point. You're missing the whole point that public transit should help you be independent, should help you travel the way that you want to travel. Drama. Number 27, the stigma on seasonal work / the gig economy. Y'all, I used to have this stigma, and I know other folks do too, of, oh, I feel bad, he's just a coffee barista. Or, oh, I feel bad, she's just a ranch hand. Girl, we're happy, they're thriving, they're in their lane, they're focused. And let me tell you what, they're not pressed about something as simple as money. Let that sink in, all right? Number 28, the lack of art. I'm so sick of seeing AI designed stuff. I'm so sick of people lacking substance. I'm so sick of people just making stuff that, like, is supposed to not mean anything but look appealing. I want something of substance. Bring that back. Bring back substance in art. Bring back Bob Dylan-esque music where people talked about actual things that were happening. Okay? I'm done with... Shout out to my girl, Addison Rae. Shout out to my girl... What's the other girl? Addison Rae and... Who's that other girl? Tate McRae. Addison Rae and Tate McRae. Okay, first of all, made up names. Love them both. They're both divas, slay queens. But it's like, okay, I'm lacking a little substance here, ladies. Can we give me something? All right, I know you can do it. I know you're capable. Okay. Number 29, quote unquote, luxury dining. That's not actually based on merit. When I think of luxury dining, I literally just think of, like, little gold leaflets on food. Like, number one, why would I want to eat that? Like, what does that do for me? Number two, caviar. Okay. That's, like, the most mid food. Caviar. Maybe I'm just a pleb and I haven't had good caviar. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's where we're at. And the other thing, Kobe beef. Like, these aren't things that are hard to come by. The gold leaf, yeah, sure. But the Kobe beef, and it's being so expensive, and for what? Dumb. Don't understand that. Number 30, the seriousness that we approach life with, period. Number 31, being different equals being weird, ? Being normal is weird, y'all. It's weird to me. Why would you want to be like everybody else? Okay, right? Right? Number 32, vanity being expensive. I should not be paying exorbitant amount of money to look the way I want to look. And not for some patriarchal society of what we expect women to look like. No, for me, for what I want to look like, for what me wants to look like. Me no want to pay lots of money for that, okay? Number 33, my personal public schooling education. I did not learn anything in my public school. I'm not really sure how I got into college. It's crazy, actually. I was good at math and science in high school, and that was it, which is what I majored in college, really. I did not recall anything about history. I guess writing and like language arts and literature, like I could read. Bar's really low on that one, I guess. Number 34, men who take their shirts off in public. Put it back on. Don't want to see it. Don't care how fit you are. Put it back on. I don't want to see. Number 35, people who don't read about the culture before visiting a new country. The amount of disrespect that is of if you're going to a country that requires women to cover their knees and shoulders, cover your knees and shoulders. If you're in a country that doesn't really like tattoos, cover your tattoos. Stop being so damn disrespectful. I can't. Number 36, vacation days. Days? Excuse me? Days? Ugh. Then number 37, the question, what do you do? Followed by the answer of what their occupation is. It's like, I'm guilty of it. I've done it before. And it's such a ick for me now because I realize like how sad that is. I do a lot. Do I want to just refine that down to my job? Ew, no. Number 38. Bikini body, wedding diets, fad diets. I want to look good for this event. How about just be healthy? How about let's not do a fad diet? Let's just do a lifestyle adjustment and change the way that you approach eating, the way that you approach exercise. Crazy concept, I know. Going off of that, number 39, weddings. Why are we spending, as an American society, on average, $30,000 on weddings? Huh? What? Guys, seriously? Why? Some of y'all don't even post your boyfriend on social media, and you want to go ahead and have a $30,000 wedding? Huh? I don't get it. Y'all, it's performative. I love the idea of marriage. I love the idea of having a life partner. The idea of an actual wedding? Not for me. Number 40, gluttony over material items. Why do you need a 17-step skincare routine with literally 17 different products? Huh? Guys, use some soap. I get everybody has their thing, but like it has really become all encompassing. Having 40 pairs of shoes, having 100 t-shirts, having 50 jackets, what? And I say that being someone that used to overindulge in the clothing department, okay? Number 41, holding grudges. Number 42, talking poorly about an ex. Number 43, guilty pleasure. Since when are any of my pleasures guilty? Honestly, none. And if you have a guilty pleasure, jail. Number 44, people knowing about pop culture more than their own environment. If you only listen to one other podcast episode that I have hosted, listen to my episode with Teal Lato, who talks about water rights, water conservation, and the water crisis. It is alarming. We do not know enough about where our water is coming from, what supplies our water, what's happening with our water rights. But we sure do know what is happening on Love Island, who the entire cast of Love Island is, where they are now, if they're still together. It's alarming, okay? And number 45, wishing time away. Like I said, in case you missed number 50, I'm moving to France and I'm moving in November, but it's September. I'm excited to move, but I have so much time between now and then that I really just don't want to wish that time away. I also feel like there's so many other times in life where you are wishing time away, whether you're looking forward to a vacation or whether you're looking forward to starting college or whether you're looking forward to starting a new job or whether you want to quit your job that you just got. It really just becomes this constant wishing time away. And I really want to romanticize making every second count. Number 46, constant doom and gloom. I don't want to get on online to constant doom and gloom. I know things are not great, but surely there are some good things happening out there. Number 47, condiments. If it's not already put on the meal, don't put it on the meal. You know what I mean? I don't need ketchup on my hot dog. Didn't come with it on it. I don't want it. Okay? And honestly, it has gotten to the point where if the burger does come with ketchup on it, I will ask for it not. I will ask for it to not, because honestly, ketchup is just disgusting. And so is salad dressing. Y'all really be on the ranch for some reason that's disturbing to me. Number 48, the Joe Rogan podcast. Number 49, not liking a genre of food. Like, how are you about to say, oh, I don't like Chinese food. Oh, I don't like Indian food. Huh? Guys, what? You mean to tell me that in the entire array of Chinese food, Indian food, there's not one thing that you enjoy? You just write off the whole, I don't like pasta. I don't say that I don't. Okay, I do say I don't like Italian food. But I don't say that I dislike Italian food as a whole. I still like pizza. Okay? Last and final, most important probably, booths. Get rid of them. I never want to see another booth a day in my life. I don't ever. Scooting in, scooting out. Stop. We don't need that. So that concludes my list of the 50 things I love and the 50 things I would love to change, as well as my major life update. So I intend on posting business as usual of women-owned businesses in Denver until the end of the year. And then come January, probably earlier than that, I will start coming onto the podcast to talk about my journey to France. So thanks again for listening. Thanks again for having me. Thanks again for listening. And I'm so glad to have made it to 100 episodes. Thank you all for listening to all 100. I know you have. Anyways, thanks again, and I will see you next week. Bye.